Alright guys, welcome back to the IDQcast. I know it's been quite some time. We had to take a little bit of time off. Partly I wasn't feeling well. The other part of it was I simply was running out of content. I mean, it sucked because fortunately we were dealing with a lot of the coronavirus stuff and it just wasn't allowing me to come up with a lot of content for you guys, and I don't like to put out stuff that is just not as great as I know it can be. So, starting off, guys, we know that baseball is back. We know that hockey is back. We're waiting on football to come back, but we know that definitely basketball is back. So, guys, let's start off. We have so many fantastic topics to discuss, so I put the meal out for you guys, metaphorically. Bon appetit. I hope you got your fork. I hope you got your knife and your spoon. We're about to dig in. So let's start it off with the top 100. A lot of people are super duper pissed about this. Now, partly, I kind of understand where they're coming from. So the top 100 list came out for all the players of 2020. I'm assuming that voters, who were random people, who were allowed to participate in the survey, were allowed to say who they think should rank in certain places within the top 100. So some people I'm pretty happy about. I can say that their ranking is fairly fair. Of course, number 6, Christian McCaffrey. I believe that his ranking is fairly fair. The guy has had a phenomenal year last year, but he's new, so I wouldn't say that he deserves a higher spot than where he's at. People like Patrick Mahomes, who had a super, super fantastic year, unfortunately ended up in places like position number 4. But what everybody is talking about is how Lamar Jackson ended up at the spot number 1 without ever winning in a playoff game in his entire career. Now, of course, you know his career has been super short, as he's only been playing for like 1 year full time. So, and of course, he lost that one game to the Patriots. So everybody's super pissed. They're like, Patrick Mahomes deserves to be number 1 and not, of course, Lamar Jackson. Let me say something. While I believe that both Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes are fantastic quarterbacks, I believe that they're going to be the face of the NFL for years to come. I'm not that, like, I feel like it could be either way. Like, they're pretty much reversible. I wouldn't be mad if they were number 1 and number 2. Because they have just been revolutionary in the game. I mean, of course, scrambling quarterbacks have existed as long as the game has been around, but the way that they go about things is just something completely unseen. I'm not that mad about it. I don't really care. Like I said, I respect both Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. So, and Patrick Mahomes isn't taking it that seriously. He's just seeing it as an opportunity to potentially better himself, which, hey, I believe in taking things more positively, looking at it at a better angle, a better perspective. So, hey, he gets my vote for number 1, and Lamar Jackson gets my vote for number 1. Unfortunately, there can only be one number 1. Also, people are kind of upset about number 2, which is Russell Wilson. Now, a lot of people are like, oh, he hasn't been to the playoffs in such a long time. Oh, he's not even that good of a quarterback. First of all, Russell Wilson, I can definitely say, is one of these quarterbacks that have been slept on within the past decade. Not the past decade, but almost half the decade since he's been to Super Bowl. It is not Russell Wilson's fault that he has not been to the Super Bowl, because he has actually been getting better and better. Look at his passer rating. He is fantastic. The guy has stayed consistent throughout his whole career. He is the franchise quarterback for Seattle for a very good reason. He keeps getting the top dollar on those extensions for a very good reason. The guy, as far as I know, well, if he gets injured, it's not a very super major injury. He's quick on his feet. He's able to do both the run attack and the pass attack, the run on the go with the pass attack. He is a fantastic quarterback. He just happens to have a very, very crappy offense and very crappy defense that does not like to protect him all the time. So, I agree with him being number two. Don't be mad at Russell Wilson for what his receivers and his running backs won't do. That's my say on it, guys. Of course, we're going to see the rest of the top 100 as the day goes on. They did release like all the quarterbacks that are on the top 100. Some people, I think, that should definitely not be as low as they are. For instance, Aaron Rodgers is pretty low. I think he's like number 14 or something like that. Deshaun Watson is way, way low. He's like in the 20s or something like that. Carson Wentz is not on there, as well as Matt Ryan. And I believe one of the quarterbacks was just like way at the bottom of the top 100. So it's pretty biased, I'm not gonna lie. These guys might be like Madden players. Speaking of Madden, man has really been pissing people off with their Madden 21 ratings. They're just, I mean, they're bad. They're really bad. But we know, I don't know how EA formulates exactly how the ratings are gonna go for everybody, for the different attributes and stuff like that, but it's very clear that they don't pay attention to the games, because there are a lot of people that are very overrated, and then there are a lot of people who are very underrated, and it sucks. But you know, it's one of those things that you really can't deal with. It's one of those things that you kind of gotta grit your teeth and bear. It's not something, you know, we can necessarily change about how they do business. But I don't think anybody's gonna not buy the game or something like that. I think pretty much everybody's gonna buy the game, as well as NBA 2K21. Unfortunately, from what we've seen, graphics wise, current gen is gonna look exactly the same as 2K20, which look the exact same as 2K19. So you guys are better off not buying it if you guys are not going next gen. Of course, they had the Kobe Bryant tribute, which everybody was pretty much begging for, which would have possibly done them in sales wise if they had not done the Legend Edition of the Kobe Bryant 2K21. A lot of people were kind of iffy about Zion Williamson, the current gen guy. I'm kind of iffy about it. Again, he's a very hyped player that we really haven't seen a whole bunch of to even say, oh, let's make this guy the cover athlete. But I am not in charge of any video game publishing company, so my say really has very little to do with anything. Moving on in the NFL, what is the NFL going to do about coronavirus? We know for a long time that they've been kind of waiting things out, that they've been kind of trying to see what is going on in the world, if they're going to be able to just do things as usual, or are they going to have to modify things. And unfortunately for the NFL, they are going to have to modify things very rapidly, because now they are really going to have to put together some controls and some measures of keeping players safe, keeping staff safe, keeping their own staff safe within the NFL, because of course we know that they have their videographers and men that work specifically for the NFL. How are they going to keep all these sets of people safe from potentially getting the coronavirus being, or potentially passing it on to family members, and they end up with a very, very bad version of the coronavirus? A lot up in the air right now, and I'm definitely like waiting to see what they do too, because they have been pushing back NFL training camps. I think this is like the third pushback or so that they've done. They keep delaying to try to figure out exactly what they're going to do. What they are planning, what I've heard that they've been planning on doing, is nothing like what they have been seeing from people who have had a more successful model so far, such as the NHL and the NBA. The NBA just recorded that they have had their second round of testing, and no one has come back positive so far. You can credit that to the way that they've handled the bubble, from just who's going to be eligible to be at the bubble. There's so many rules and regulations, daily testing. If anybody leaves the bubble, even just literally one sidewalk block away, you will end up in quarantine for the next 14 days. and tested to make sure that you do not bring back the coronavirus. There are many people that ended up in a quarantine that did not want to end up in a quarantine, aka Lou Williams, who left the quarantine to go to Magic City, allegedly for the wings, but we all know that he went for the strippers. So he's currently in quarantine right now. We don't know if he's going to end up with any repercussions. We do know that they have finalized with the NFLPA that there will be repercussions for players who put themselves in high-risk situations where they can get the coronavirus and they contract it, possibly bringing it to other people. So they will receive a payout, which is something that I think is very innovative. I haven't seen anybody else doing that. But other than that, they really have not come up with anything. They still don't know whether or not they're going to do some type of a bubble, if they're going to be able to travel to different cities to play games. Will there be fans in the stands? Will there be no fans in the stands? Will there be fans but they're outside of the stadium and they're just going to pump in crowd noise? What are they going to do regarding if they have travel? Will there be team buses? If there are team buses, of course, in most states, you are not allowed to have full capacity on those buses. So what are they going to do with the other people that they are leaving behind in order to make 6 feet of social distancing? How are they going to ensure that people wear masks? How are they going to enforce people wearing masks if they're not playing on the field? There are so many questions that are just left up in the air, and it is just such a Roger Goodell type of thing that there would be these many questions left up in the air, and we have until September to figure it out. Because I can't think of any other commissioner who is this irresponsible about their players' health, not just the health and the safety of the players, but the health and the safety of coaches, coaching staff, upper management. Roger Goodell is such a crappy commissioner. I just wish every day that he would just resign. But every day I wake up and he's still there. So we will be seeing what they're going to be doing. Of course, they keep proposing different things. We keep seeing different proposals coming forth here and there. So we will try to update you guys as much as possible. If not on the podcast because it's not our day, then we, of course, will update you guys via our Twitter account. Make sure that you follow our Twitter account at IDK_cast, and that's all lowercase letters, at IDK_cast. So, with all that being said about the NFL, how has the NBA been faring? Of course, I already said that they have been doing fantastic in regards to containing any people that may have been exposed to the coronavirus. They have also been doing very well in regards to the scrimmages. Now, of course, the NBA is officially back today. I believe they're going to start playing a game. I believe it's Pelicans versus somebody. I'm not quite sure. Pelicans versus Jazz. So we're really going to see what's going to happen with Rudy Gobert and Mitch. Mitch says that he and Rudy have repaired their relationship, but we're really going to see what's going to happen. Is there going to be any on-court tension? Of course, guys, I will be the first person to report that. So if you want to see, it's going to be on our Twitter account. Scrimmage-wise, though, we have a lot of people giving a strong showing. We have a lot of people giving a not-so-strong showing. So we're really going to see what happens now that everybody pretty much is healthy, except for a few exceptions. Of course, we have Anthony Davis that sat out a couple games due to, he punctured his eye somehow during practice. Joel Embiid had a right calf injury. He's going to be sitting out for quite some time. Other than that, everyone is pretty much healthy. Everyone is pretty much in shape for this NBA restart, guys. So, first, starting off with my favorite team, of course, the Portland Trail Blazers. Unfortunately, a weak showing is not quite the accurate word for it. Very underwhelming, very disappointing, and really, personally, it kind of makes you sad. They lost all three scrimmages. I think the the closest loss was like by 3 points. Pretty much what they were doing all year long. I don't know why I chose to believe in that report when Dame had his birthday in the bubble, saying that, guys, please just don't waste my time. Let's make the most out of our time here and really pull off an 8th seed win. I don't think they're going to go to the 8th seed, guys. Looking at how they performed as a team with everyone healthy, Nurik is back. Zach Collins is back. The only person who is not back because his injury is just that horrible is Rodney Hood. His injury had just like started. So he had just started rehabilitation when this whole coronavirus thing happened. So Rodney Hood is the only person that's not available. And guys, it was just so disappointing, especially with Carmelo Anthony playing at the small forward position, guys. It just really made my heart super, super sad to see the way that they were playing. It was crazy. A lot of isolation ball, a lot of unnecessary passes, a lot of bad shots, a lot of missed shots. Hopefully, it's just they were, as they say, experimenting with the way that they will try to play the game, and this is not how that they will be playing going forward. But of course, we will see with their first game, because we literally have one of the hardest schedules amongst the 8th seed people who are contending for the 8th seed. So it's very disheartening to see stuff like that. Outside of that, the Oklahoma City Thunder have been doing very well, a very strong showing. I think that they're pretty much going to maintain their seed position, if not possibly go up 1 or 2 seeds. The Raptors had a very, very strong showing. I believe they've won all of their scrimmage games. So these guys are serious contenders for the East title. Somebody else who's a very strong contender for the East title, and surprising me, is the 76ers. We have Ben Simmons making open threes, and I believe contested threes. That is amazing. We have Shake Milton that was playing PG for their lineup. They try to mix it up a little bit, and personally, I'm liking it. I like what they have going on. They have some good chemistry. We have people putting in effort, 100%. Effort, and I think that these guys, if they continue, they will be serious contenders. Somebody else who's super surprising me, the Boston Celtics. They have pulled some people from the G League that are really giving them that extra edge up. They were already a very solid team from the start. This, to me, makes them even more of a solid team. Especially some of these G League guys that they pulled are really just showing some ferocity, getting in the paint, defending well. A lot of screens, I've been seeing that has been very popular throughout the league now in these scrimmages. There were like a ton of screens being set up. So if I were a coach right now, I would be focusing on how to beat people off the screen, because it looks like everybody's setting up a screen and the screen goes from outside of the screen, we go to like a Euro step. So how to beat people out the Euro step and off the screen is something I would be focusing on if I was an NFL coach right now. Of course, the Houston Rockets are looking solid with the duo of James Harden and Russell Westbrook. Will Russell Westbrook be enough to possibly put the Houston Rockets over the edge to make them serious contenders this year and not just serious flops? That is the serious question that we are all asking ourselves. I know personally I'm asking myself. I would love to see the Rockets really do well. I think that they have a solid duo, of course, with Russell Westbrook, with James Harden. It's all up to James to just stay focused, don't flop, and just keep the organization well. Of course, they do have the issue of small ball. How is that going to play forward? With PJ Tucker sometimes playing center, sometimes James Harden playing center, how are they going to get over these more taller defenses? Of course, they did well during the season. It really wasn't bothering them. But like I told you guys, they're really not going to play that hard during the season against these guys. It's really about the playoffs that count. What are people going to do regarding them during the playoffs? These centers are going to come after them more harder. These big men, these small forwards, these power forwards are going to come after them much, much harder. So how they deal with that pressure, we're going to see, guys. We are going to see. Last up on our docket, we have the WNBA. And let me tell you, they have been getting off to a fantastic start. We have some real clinch games, literally holding onto your seat. You have no idea who's going to win. They have some games that have been absolutely strong. These teams have been showing absolutely strong. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little disappointed with Liberty, especially with Sabrina Ionescu. Not disappointed in Sabrina's performance, particularly today, because last night she had a 33-point game. Fantastic. She almost had like a double-double. I just wish that they would manage the time of other people as well as Sabrina a little bit better, so that way it's not all the way on one person. But we will continue to see. They have a pretty young team this year, so it's going to be interesting to see how everybody meshes together, how team play is going to work out. The Mercury, of course, showing as strong as ever. Brittany Griner going hard in the paint. Of course, the blocks and the assists is going crazy, guys. Of course, the Aces actually have been surprising me a little bit this year. I believe they won both games. I know that they won the game for yesterday, and it was a pretty good stopping for the Dream. The Aces won 100-70. The Storm, of course, Sue Bird is coming off. It's like she's ageless, man. It's like nothing phases her, bro. But, of course, like I told you guys, the Mystics have been showing her off. In fact, the Mystics are playing right now. The Storm and the Mystics are winning. It's a pretty good stock out right now, 63-40. Of course, we have to keep in mind, there are so many fantastic veterans on the Storm. They may just mount a comeback. It's only the third quarter. Anything can seriously happen. The Sparks, of course, solid showing. They've been solid. It's great to look at. The WNBA bubble has been solid so far. There have been no serious cases with the WNBA bubble. So we will just be keeping an eye on that. And that will be it for the show today, guys. I appreciate you guys. Really do for holding on, even through our little bit of a hiatus. So hope you appreciate this. I hope you like the music that I rendered into this little thing. I hope you guys have a great week. Keep up with the scores as well with me on our Twitter account. Make sure that you go to our Pod Fan page. Make sure that you, if you're feeling it, you send a donation or join our $2.99 a month membership, and you can get these fantastic shows ad free. So that will be it for the show. Again, I will see you guys next week. Peace.